CH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 8 o'clock. Good morning, I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Most Wisconsin Republicans in the U.S. House say they support an impeachment inquiry into President Biden. Nate Wegehout has more.
The inquiry stems from accusations that Joe Biden's son Hunter used his father's influence to make business deals overseas. But while Wisconsin's GOP congressmen support an inquiry, they haven't yet signed off on full impeachment. Congressman Derek Van Orden said that he feels obligated to open an inquiry, but says he will wait to make a decision on impeachment until he sees more evidence. Only Congressman Mike Gallagher declined to immediately back the inquiry. Wisconsin's Democratic reps in D.C. blasted the announcement, with U.S. Representative Gwen Moore calling it pathetic. Wegehout, Civic Media News.
The possibility of impeaching Janet Protasiewicz appears to be back on the table. Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss tells Wisconsin Eye he's consulting with a group of former state Supreme Court justices about his options.
I asked former members of the court to do a review and an analysis of the process and what would actually occur as to whether or not what she's doing would rise to the level of possible impeachment or at least an investigation.
Who are you consulting with?
I'm going to keep their names out of the media.
Meanwhile, the state assembly today takes up a Republican bill to change the way Wisconsin draws its political maps. Democratic Minority Leader Greta Neubauer says the bill is a smokescreen.
This Republican proposal is merely a stunt to try to distract from what is going on underneath the surface, which is these ongoing threats to impeach Justice Protasiewicz.
Governor Evers says he'd veto the Republican MAPS bill. Recent policy decisions at the federal level aim to improve life in rural America, but the latest Rural Policy Action Report says there's still more to do. Here's Mike Mohn.
The authors say there are four main areas federal lawmakers should focus on to ensure rural communities are set up for success. They include infrastructure investments, taking on corporate mergers, and protecting democracy and natural resources. Eric Hattelstad with the group Clean Up the River Environment says small-town America remains overlooked.
We did make some really great progress in the Inflation Reduction Act and bipartisan infrastructure law and others. We still have a long way to go.
Hattelstad contributed to the report, and he says federal incentives will leverage tens of billions of dollars for rural electric cooperatives and communities as they transition to clean energy sources. This is Mike Mohn for Wisconsin News Connection.
The best tasting water in Wisconsin is in Janesville. That's according to judges with the American Water Works Association. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Pedestrian crashes in Wisconsin are on the rise. A report by the Governor's Highway Safety Association shows fatal crashes grew by 50% in 2022, in line with the national trend of increases in fatal pedestrian crashes. According to nationwide data, 7,500 pedestrians were killed after being hit by a car last year, which is the most in over 40 years. Drivers and pedestrians are reminded to follow right-of-way laws, and municipalities are exploring options like rectangular rapid flashing beacons to improve safety. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding hunters that deer season begins this weekend with the opening of archery and crossbow seasons. The two seasons run through either January 7th or January 31st, depending on the county, and all harvested deer must be registered by 5 p.m. the day after the deer is recovered. The DNR is also reminding hunters to practice proper safety, like wearing safety harnesses in tree stands and using a haul line to bring unloaded weapons to the stand. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers shut out again. Good morning, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers lost to the Marlins 2-0 at AmFam Field. It's the 11th time this season the Brewers unable to score a run. Trevor McGill got his first start for the Brewers with relief from Colin Ray and Bryce Wilson. Craig Counsell.
I mean, we pitched really well tonight for sure. Trevor did a nice job. Colin did a very nice job. Bryce Wilson, heck of a job again. So pitched well.
The series wrapping up this afternoon. Miami's Eury Pérez against Milwaukee's Adrian Hauser for pitch at 110. NBA, Giannis Antetokounmpo repeating his comments. He wants to see a commitment to winning if he remains in Milwaukee. Giannis appearing on NBA Central.
I'm a Milwaukee Buck, but most importantly, I'm a winner. I want to win. As long as we play the right way and we all sacrifice for a common goal, I can see myself being in Milwaukee Bucks for the rest of my career.
College football, Wisconsin running back Braylon Allen, not happy. He only got 7 carries in the Badgers' 31-22 loss to Washington State, head coach Luke Fickell.
It's not the same as it has been, and I think that's where we've all got to recognize that. You know, and I think he's mature. He understands that. He's disappointed. He obviously wants to touch the ball a lot more.
Women's volleyball, the number one ranked Badgers beat Marquette 3-1 at five serve form in front of over 17,000 fans. That set a new NCAA record for attendance at a women's volleyball match. NFL, the Packers head to Atlanta Sunday to play the Falcons. Matt LaFleur on seeing Aaron Rodgers go down with that torn Achilles tendon on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, I feel for him, and I knew when he went down, back down to the ground, it had to have been something serious because I've seen him play through so much.
Packers center Josh Myers.
I mean, he never, he played through injuries here all the time, I feel like. I figured it was pretty bad right away.
Jordan Love.
I mean, I know him. He's a very competitive person, and I have no doubt that he'll be back.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Show on a Thursday morning, 14th of September. Hope you're having a good day so far. 7 minutes after 8 o'clock, come on in, grab a seat, get a cup of coffee or a cup of tea, relax for a little bit. Going to give you some news and some weather and some sports. And in fact, speaking of the weather outside today, should be a pretty nice day in most areas. La Crosse today, sunshine, high around 78 degrees. Eau Claire, sunshine, high around 79. In Richland Center, cloudy this morning, then sunny this afternoon, high around 77 degrees. In Amory, sunshine, high around 78. And up in Hayward, sunny and breezy, with a high around 75 degrees. Yes, and in sports, the Brewers lost last night, 2-0 to the Marlins, but the Cubs lost as well. So Milwaukee maintains a 4-game lead on Chicago in the National League Central. And the finale of that 4-game series with Miami is today in Milwaukee. So what's going on in the news? Let me give you some headlines. The Wisconsin Senate is voting today to fire the state's top election official. Just as we're getting ready for a big presidential election, is that a smart thing to do? Also in the headlines today, a new plan by Republicans to redraw Wisconsin's legislative maps is scheduled for a vote in the Assembly today. A record-setting crowd saw Wisconsin's women's volleyball team defeat Marquette in Milwaukee last night. And also, the Journal Sentinel has an in-depth story about the Trempealeau Lakes in Trempealeau County, and we'll get to that today as well. And I tell you where we're going to start. We're going to start with that vote today by the Senate, the Wisconsin Senate, voting today to fire elections chief, setting the stage for a legal fight heading into the 2024 elections. I have a story here from the Journal Sentinel, and this is by Molly Beck at the Journal Sentinel, updated about 3 hours ago. It says, Dateline Madison, fueled by lingering outrage over the 2020 election within the Wisconsin Republican Party, Senate Republicans are poised to fire the state's top election official today. A move that is all but certain to catapult Wisconsin's election agency into a legal battle over who oversees voting in this battleground state heading into the 2024 presidential election. And as you know, there's really no reason to fire the elections official, the administrator, Megan Wolf, other than the fact that Republicans did not win the 2020 election. And that alone is reason enough to fire the top administrator, or to fire the administrator of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. This story goes on and says, senators are scheduled to take a vote on the appointment of Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf during a floor session in the state capitol and are expected to have enough votes to oust her. But even if the lawmakers vote Wolf out, she's likely to stay in her job as inevitable litigation swallows the issue for months. That's because Thursday's proceeding isn't being recognized by Wolf or many Democrats as legitimate, because the Republican-controlled state Senate forced a vote on Wolf's future, even though the bipartisan elections commission charged with hiring her did not put forward a nomination of Wolf to consider. When Wolf's term expired in June, the six members of the commission agreed Wolf should stay in her job, but failed to find consensus on how to respond to an effort by Senate Republicans to oust her amid pressure from the Republican base over the 2020 election. So, did she do anything wrong? Not really. It's just that the election came out the wrong way. So, get rid of her, right? The story goes on and says, ultimately, the commission did not put forward the four votes required by law to reappoint Wolf, with Democratic commissioners arguing a recent state Supreme Court ruling that allows such officials to stay in their positions beyond the expiration of their terms protects Wolf's job. Senate Republicans decided to move forward anyway and are expected to vote to fire Wolf this afternoon or today. There's a quote here from Devin LeMahieu, the Senate Majority Leader, Republican from Oostburg. He said in a statement, Wisconsinites deserve to have faith in the state's elections, and the prompt and proper appointment of an elections administrator is crucial to maintaining that trust and upholding the integrity of elections. Megan Wolf oversees a commission that has been under fire for 3 years because of false claims. Those are false claims put forward by former President Donald Trump to convince supporters that he actually won an election that he lost, and because of policies commissioners approved during the 2020 presidential election to navigate hurdles presented by the coronavirus pandemic. President Joe Biden defeated former President Trump in 2020 by about 21,000 votes in Wisconsin, a result that has been confirmed by two recounts paid for by Trump, also by state audits. There was a partisan review, a conservative study, and multiple lawsuits. Okay, and through all that, it was still found that Joe Biden defeated Donald Trump. But as you know, Trump has continued to lie about the result of Wisconsin's last presidential election, bolstering the beliefs of those who do not believe Biden is a legitimate president, many of whom have made Wolf the symbol of the false claims because of her position at the Elections Commission. And at the same time, some Republican lawmakers have also targeted Megan Wolf because of actions the bipartisan panel of six commissioners voted to take during the coronavirus pandemic, at a time when health officials were advising people to avoid crowds, and for some voting practices that have since been deemed illegal through lawsuits. And I have a quote here. This is from Kathy Bernier, former Republican Senate Elections Committee chairwoman. She said in an interview, quote, there were decisions that were made that were not exactly appropriate or legal. If you want to make that argument, that's true. But for her to take the blame for it is inappropriate, to say the least, end quote. Bernier is a former Chippewa County clerk and state senator who now leads the Wisconsin chapter of a nonpartisan group focused on election education efforts called Keep Our Republic. She said Wolf could have reached out more to discuss issues facing voters during the pandemic in order to find legislative fixes, but overall, lawmakers held the most responsibility. Quote, when former state representative Dean Knudsen was the commission chair, he made it ever so clear that she was not to do anything, make any decisions, or even attempt to write a scope statement for a rule without them directing her to do. I know that for a fact. And so if they want someone to blame, they can blame themselves, Bernier said. Number one, they set up the election commission for failure. And number two, they didn't go into session. The leadership in the assembly and in the Senate did not call us into session to deal with COVID-related issues where we could have made it a legal process to put your ballots in drop boxes. And so to blame someone, an individual person, for the failures of many is just plain wrong, end quote. The commission mailed absentee ballot applications to all voters, advised local officials on how to make ballot drop boxes secure, and set new policies for voting in nursing homes. State law requires clerks to send poll workers to nursing homes, but the commission told the clerks to send residents absentee ballots because nursing homes weren't allowing visitors during the pandemic. The decision also ensured there was enough time for ballots to be returned and counted. Few Republicans criticized the commission's decisions when they made them, but called out the agency after Biden's victory. Last year, amid heightened scrutiny of election guidance from the commission, drop box use was deemed illegal by a conservative majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Thursday's planned vote, that's today, comes after the Republican-controlled Senate Elections Committee earlier this week recommended to not give Megan Wolf another term as Elections Commission chief. Two of the three Republican senators who voted on Monday against her reappointment in committee said they were doing so because Wolf did not appear to testify. Wolf decided not to testify after Democratic Attorney General Josh Call concluded in a legal opinion that the recent Supreme Court ruling protects Wolf's job and that the Senate was proceeding with an appointment that was not actually before them. So what's going to happen when they get together today? Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. My guess is they're going to vote to oust Megan Wolf, but we'll have to see. Keep tuned to your local civic media radio station, and you'll find out what's going to happen. We've got 18 minutes after 8 o'clock now. Got to take our first break. It'll be a short one, so stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
I have kissed you, so I'll miss you. On the road, I'll be wanting you. But I have you, cause I love you. And you have me, cause you love me too. Yeah.
Medicare open enrollment starts October 15th. Countless mailers and TV commercials will tell you you're missing out on some benefits. But don't be tricked into an Advantage plan you don't need or that doesn't cover your current medication. Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol can help you prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Visit Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol online at smpwi.org.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Yeah. Todd Albo would normally be sharing his dulcet tones with us, but you'll recall that last week, Todd was having issues with the cable company, with an internet connection. I'm now thinking, Todd Albo, did you break Spectrum? Are you responsible for this ESPN mess?
I seem to have broke everything else, so it wouldn't surprise me, no.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Here's your updated forecast. Highs around 78 today. Under partly cloudy skies, winds out of the south, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Overcast skies tonight, chance for scattered thunderstorms, lows level off around 56. Scattered thunderstorms likely tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 71, overcast. Upper 60s, Saturday, cooler on Sunday with highs in the upper 60s. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 49.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 12:15 Town Call. 1 p.m. The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4 Matt Flynn Direct. WLAK.
Featuring
one of the great voices of rock and roll, Paul Rogers on vocals, and also Paul Kossoff on guitar. And it was on this date, September 14th in 1950, Paul Kossoff was born and met a strange ending in 1976. He was aboard a flight. I think he was flying from New York to L.A. and just passed away from a heart attack. Strange thing, but some great music, that's for sure. 25 minutes after 8 o'clock right now, you're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show, and we're discussing several different topics. I have some updated temperatures here. La Crosse, 49 degrees right now, and Richland Center, only 40 degrees. Most places looking for highs in the upper 70s today. And the next topic that I want to get to is what's going on with the maps, the redistricting maps. As you know, Wisconsin now has a more normal Supreme Court. And so since this more normal Supreme Court is going to look at these maps, now the Republicans are saying, oh, wait a minute, we'll fix these maps so the Supreme Court doesn't have to do anything. Let me give you this story here from the Wisconsin State Journal. Republican redistricting proposal, not quite what Democratic lawmakers asked for. This piece by Mitchell Schmidt and Alexander Schur, and it was posted this morning. It says, legislative Republicans say their surprise proposal to shift Wisconsin to a nonpartisan map drawing process similar to Iowa's model after years of rejecting similar efforts is everything their Democratic colleagues have asked for, despite some key differences between the latest proposal and previous iterations of the bill, although some Democratic legislators and Governor Tony Evers have supported nonpartisan redistricting in the past, they almost immediately issued a resounding rejection of Assembly Republicans' effort to fast-track a vote on the issue at a time when two lawsuits challenging existing maps could be taken up by the new liberal majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. The Republican bill was unveiled by a coalition of Republican lawmakers and is scheduled for a floor vote in the Assembly on Thursday, today, just 2 days after it was announced. The latest Republican proposal is, quote, not a sincere legislative attempt, end quote, said Senator Kelda Royce, who co-sponsored a 2021 bill seeking nonpartisan redistricting. Senator Royce also noted differences between the latest bill and previous iterations, including the removal of one item that would have required both the Assembly and the Senate to secure a 3/4 vote of all members in order to amend any maps proposed by a nonpartisan agency. Quote, if you live under a gerrymandered, rigged system, you can't just throw a little sprinkle of fair maps legislation and think that that's going to change unless you have disinfected the body from the gerrymander, said Senator Royce, Democrat from Madison. We cannot and should not trust anything that Robin Voss, master manipulator, has to say, end quote. Got to take a break. Stick around. You're tuned into your local Civic Media radio station.
Close your eyes and I'll kiss you. Tomorrow I'll miss you. Remember, I'll always be true. And then while I'm away, I'll ride home every day.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. Beginning at 6, Up North News. And at 8, Stu Daniels. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. Pennsylvania prison escapee Danilo Cavalcante telling investigators he survived on watermelon, used a stolen razor to go clean shaven, and buried his own waste. Investigators also say Cavalcante was planning a carjacking so he could flee to Canada. Midnight tonight, the deadline for the United Auto Workers and Detroit's Big Three automakers to get a deal or a strike.
They are talking, both sides saying that progress has been made, but they remain far apart. The companies have offered somewhere in the neighborhood of 20% raises for workers, but there are a lot more issues. They're still a long way on pay and on benefits.
ABC's Terry Moran. And Hurricane Lee closer to New England, churning up rough surf and rip current up and down the East Coast. It's a Category 2 storm now, still out in the Atlantic and moving north, but getting weaker. This is ABC News.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin lawmakers have agreed to settle allegations against two factory farms in the state for violating their pollution permits. The legislature's Joint Finance Committee approved two settlements unanimously, a $17,500 settlement with Northside Genetics LLC in Fenimore, and a $228,000 settlement with Stahl Brothers Dairy. The committee also approved a $940,000 settlement with Diddy and Milling Inc. from a November 2020 lawsuit. A Superior, Wisconsin man has been given the maximum sentence after being convicted of murdering and dismembering another man. According to a Northern News Now report, 37-year-old Jacob Johnson was sentenced to 40 years in prison this week for second-degree intentional murder and second-degree unintentional murder for the death of Ricky Balsimo. The sentencing judge found the dismemberment and concealment of Balsimo's body was sufficient to sentence beyond the normal 26 to 36 years guidelines. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
If you're ready to welcome fall, the Amory area is the place to celebrate the season during the Flannel and Fire Fall Festival. There's a corn maze, s'mores station, flannel dress-up contest, and the Apple River Quilt Guild show, too. It's fall-focused and has been for more than 74 years. The Flannel and Fire Fall Festival, Thursday through Sunday, September 14th to the 17th in Amory, picked as one of the 100 best small arts towns in America. More info at amoryfallfestival.org. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We'll be right back.
music from Leonard Skinner. And I wanted to play a song by Skinner today because here's an interesting little known fact that, you may know that Leonard Skinner has gone through quite a few people as far as personnel, including several guitarists. But an interesting fact is the fact that one of their original guitarists, Ed King, was born on this date in 1949. But the weird thing is the fact that when he left the band in 1975, his replacement, Steve Gaines, was born on the exact same date. And what are the chances of that? September 14th of 1949. Both guys born on the same date, one replacing the other in Leonard Skinner. And if you're a Skinner fan, you probably know that Steve Gaines, the replacement guy, got killed in the plane wreck in 1977 when the plane went down carrying the band onto their next gig. And I should also mention that Ed King passed away in 2018. So both of those guys are gone now. But I just think it's interesting that they were born on the same date, the same day. And another little known fact about Ed King, guitarist from Leonard Skinner, he was in that band called Strawberry Alarm Clock. You remember them in the 60s with that hit called Incense and Peppermints? You have to be closer to my age to remember that song. But maybe we'll fit that song in today. You never know. The other thing I want to get to here, well, let me finish what we were discussing before the break. The vote that's going on today in the assembly, or is it the Senate? I'll have to look this up. But today, it's the assembly Republicans, I believe, that are going, or the assembly that's going to vote today on the redistricting maps. All right. They said they're going to do this on Tuesday, but now today is the vote in the assembly on these maps after gerrymandering these maps to such a degree that most people think that Wisconsin has the most gerrymandered maps in the U.S. right now. And that may be a fact. But once it became clear that there was a different Supreme Court slant now in our state, then all of a sudden Republicans stepped up and say, oh, well, we want the maps to be drawn by a nonpartisan group now. And of course, the Democrats are saying, wait a minute, there are two lawsuits before the Supreme Court at this time. And I think the way the Democrats are looking at it, they want those lawsuits to move forward. I was going over a story from the Wisconsin State Journal just before the break. I'll get back to it here. It says, Assembly Republicans on Tuesday unveiled legislation to implement nonpartisan legislative and congressional boundaries by the 2024 election in an effort to keep the redistricting process out of the state Supreme Court, which shifted, as you know, to a liberal majority last month. Assembly Republicans have been threatening to impeach liberal Justice Janet Protasiewicz for potentially ruling on redistricting cases after calling the maps rigged, as if that's not the case. You know, I think that most people who look at the maps would say, yeah, they're definitely rigged. Getting back to the story here, it says Evers called Assembly Republicans' idea bogus and said he does not trust the Republican-controlled legislature to hand over the map-drawing process. The Democratic governor included in previous budget requests proposals to have a nonpartisan agency draw the legislative and congressional boundaries as opposed to the state legislature. And Robin Voss was on a radio station in Milwaukee on Wednesday, yesterday. He said opposition from Democratic lawmakers represented total hypocrisy, given their years-long campaign for nonpartisan redistricting in Wisconsin. And it says here that while Democratic lawmakers almost immediately signaled a rejection of Voss's proposal on Tuesday, more than 30 Democratic legislators supported bipartisan legislation introduced last session that called for a shift to nonpartisan redistricting in Wisconsin. Representative Todd Novak, who is a Republican from Dodgeville, has introduced several bills over the years, including last session's proposal seeking to implement the Iowa redistricting model. Novak said he has long supported nonpartisan maps as a way to make lawmakers more responsive to their respective districts. Quote, "I think it makes you a better legislator to be in a competitive district," he said. So why the immediate opposition from Democratic lawmakers and nonpartisan map advocates? Well, for one, there are some differences, some big differences between previous proposals and this most recent bill. Both the previous bills in 2021 and 2023 would have put the map drawing process in the hands of the Legislative Reference Bureau, but offer considerably different processes for what happens when the legislature rejects the district boundaries that the agency would submit. Under both of those previous bills, the legislature has the ability to reject maps drawn by the Legislative Reference Bureau, as does the governor through veto power. At that point, the agency must draw new maps, taking into account any concerns, and then submit the new boundaries back to the Assembly and the Senate. Then, if the second version of the maps is also rejected, the agency draws up a third proposal. At that point, the bills provide the legislature with the ability to amend the boundaries as they would any standard bill. Under the 2021 bill Democrats backed, any such amendments would need to be approved by 3/4 of all members in each chamber. It says here that Assembly Bill 415, which was introduced on Tuesday, removes that requirement. It removes the 3/4 vote requirement. So here is a quote from the executive director of the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin, Deborah Cronmiller, said this in a statement. She said, "With this current bill, the majority of the legislature would be able to reject the maps twice and then create their own gerrymandered maps in accordance with their goals and their party. This bill, if enacted, could result in more of the same extremely gerrymandered legislative maps that we have now. This bill needs to require a supermajority or a 3/4 vote of the legislature to ensure one party does not overrule the process." Now, what's the matter with free or with fair maps? What is the problem with the free and fair maps? Getting back to the story, it says that 3/4 requirement was enormously consequential, said John Johnson, a research fellow in the Lubar Center for Public Policy Research and Civic Education at Marquette Law School, who has extensively analyzed Wisconsin's maps. Quote, "If the legislature was to wholly override the nonpartisan recommendation, it would have required a bipartisan bill to do so under the previous plan. Whereas under this plan, the legislature, along narrow party lines, can override nonpartisan maps on the third time. A Lubar Center analysis of the current maps using the results of the 2016 and the 2020 presidential elections and the 2018 gubernatorial election as a baseline found that if half of voters statewide went for Democrats and the other half went for Republicans, Democratic candidates could expect to win just 36 of the Assembly's 99 seats and just 10 of the Senate's 33 seats. Republicans currently hold 22 seats, or a 2/3 majority in the Senate, and 64 of the 99 seats in the assembly. Both Novak and Voss have expressed a willingness to amend the bill to secure bipartisan support and the signature of Governor Tony Evers. Quote, "We are more than willing to take that amendment," Novak said. Also, I should mention that the 2021 bill also would have prohibited majority and minority leaders in the Assembly and Senate from assigning or hiring any person to work with the Legislative Reference Bureau to prepare for redistricting, prepare plans, or over...
If I could be you...
And you could be me...
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way...
To get inside
each other's mind...
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Highs around 78 today under partly cloudy skies. Winds out of the south, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Overcast skies tonight. Chance for scattered thunderstorms. Lows level off around 56. Scattered thunderstorms likely tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 71. Overcast. Upper 60s Saturday. Cooler on Sunday with highs in the upper 60s. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK 1260 AM. Right now 52.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Mankind, dead kings, many things I can't define. Old Cajun spots, wagons, butter your mind. In the sense of temperaments, the color of time.
Who cares what games we choose? Little to win, but nothing to lose.
In the sense of temperaments, meaningless bounds. Turn on, tune in, turn your eyes around.
Look at your song.
You can do beatniks and politics, nothing is new. A yardstick for lunatics, one point of view.
Who cares what games we choose? Little to win, but nothing to lose. Little to win, but nothing to lose. Who cares
Oh, yeah, there's a classic for you, huh? Going back to the 1960s, some psychedelic music for you on a Thursday morning. It's the Strawberry Alarm Clock doing Incense and Peppermints. And as I mentioned earlier, that band featured Ed King on guitar, who later went on to play with Lynyrd Skynyrd. And here's another interesting fact. He was with Lynyrd Skynyrd from 1972 to 1975, and then left the band, and then came back into the band in 1987 after being gone for, 12 years or so, and stayed with the band until 1996. Interesting. Anyway, welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show on this Thursday morning. We've got 8:53 right now and 53 degrees in La Crosse, also 45 degrees in Hayward. And the next thing I want to mention here is what went on in Milwaukee last night. It seems like women's volleyball is becoming pretty popular. You may have seen that story, a week ago or so, where there was a huge crowd at an outdoor place to see, 92,000 people to see Nebraska play Omaha at Memorial Stadium. That was August 30th. But now, last night in Milwaukee, a new record was set for indoor women's volleyball. Story from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel says top-ranked Wisconsin beats Marquette in front of a record volleyball crowd at the Fiserv Forum. I'll give you a little bit of this just to give you an idea of what's going on. And if you've never watched women's volleyball, but you're into sports, I would highly recommend it because it can pull you in pretty quickly. There's a lot of action, and it happens pretty fast. It says here the volleyball teams from Marquette and Wisconsin put on a show in front of a record crowd on Wednesday night at Fiserv Forum. The defending champions from the Big East and the Big Ten went four sets, 2 hours and 36 minutes, and played to 45 ties or lead changes. When it was all said and done, Wisconsin, the nation's top-ranked team, used comebacks in the first and third sets to help it score a win in front of a crowd, 17,037. More than 17,000 people at Fiserv Forum last night to watch women's college volleyball. That's cool. It was the second largest crowd to see an NCAA regular season match behind the 92,003 that witnessed Nebraska and Omaha, and that was, again, outdoors at the Memorial Stadium on August 30th, and the largest to see an indoor. So that crowd last night in Milwaukee, the largest to see an indoor regular season match. The previous record belonged to UW and Florida, which played in front of 16,833 spectators at the Kohl Center last season. I have a quote here from Wisconsin coach Kelly Sheffield. She said to play in front of this kind of crowd in this type of environment was great. And it says here that Marquette dropped to 2-6. The match was the Golden Eagles' fifth straight loss, with all five coming to top 25 teams. And so if you ever have the chance, check it out. It's exciting, something to see, and it'll keep you on the edge of your seat as you're watching women's volleyball. That's cool that it's becoming such a popular sport. And we've got 8:57 right now. We're going to take a top-of-the-hour break for the news. Stick around. You're tuned into your local Civic Media radio station.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward.
Always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News,
app.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finn.